Father, today Ali is your mouthpiece. Hmm. Help us to receive what she has for us. Help us to not be over analytical, but to have open and soft hearts. We love you, Lord. Mm-hmm. We love Ali. Mm. And we thank you for the anointing you have given her, the word you have given her to share with us today. Mm-hmm. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. Well, we'll see what comes out. I had a whole plan, and it was a lot. And I woke up yesterday morning, and then this morning, with like how God speaks to me often is I'll wake up with a song, and I was like I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I've got all this content. I don't know what you're wanting to say. I don't know. And he was really clear, so I'll share that with you guys in a minute. But first, we're going to talk about what introducing Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a made-up tradition by the church. They don't know exactly when it started, but the meaning of Advent is it means coming. And so in the church, over time, it turned into this time period of looking to Christmas, of a very intentional time of focusing on Christmas and the coming of Jesus. And the coming of Jesus both as a baby and then at Advent also then the coming of Jesus in your heart when you accepted him. Celebrating that, the church would do baptisms, actually, after Christmas. I read that. That was pretty cool. And then also about looking ahead to the second coming, because as Janet said, we're here, Jesus came, and he says he's coming again. We're in this interesting time in between, but we choose to really celebrate on Christmas the coming of Jesus into the world. And so what we're going to be doing is partaking in that tradition of Advent where we're focusing on, between now and Christmas, this time of him here and not here yet. So really it's like a preparation, a focus on this waiting. Like he said he's going to do something and it's not here yet, although he has come. So that's when we get into actually what our theme is this year for Advent, it's going to be a little bit different than in the past. So the scripture, first it started out, our theme was going to be love came down, and it is. However, in prayer and in really seeking the Lord about like, well, what does that mean for us, these people, these people here? And as I kept like looking into it, and I was like, really, Lord, like love? I preached on love 2 years ago when we first did Advent series, where I was like basically took that season of time over the church and planned it. And then last year, I also spoke on love, and then I just spoke on love, and I'm like, really, love, like, again? And we are going to do Love Came Down. It's just going to be actually on Christmas Eve, and my husband gets to take that. So I, although I am overseeing, like, the overall theme, I really prayed into it, and this is the word I got for us as we start Advent, and then I'll share with you what today's word is. But it comes from John 1:1-14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And so that is my cue to light our candle. Jesus, we're going to be celebrating the life of Jesus during Advent. We're going to be looking at his life. He already came. So we're actually not going to spend a ton of time looking at the nativity, looking at his arrival. We're going to actually spend time looking at who Jesus was and spending time looking at the encounters that Jesus had while he was here. He is the light. How did he shine? How did he live? How did he impact people that encountered him? And that's what we're going to spend our Advent doing. So anyway, first candle. We light these candles to remember that Jesus came into the world, that he is the light of the world, And in the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So that is Advent. In John, I said 1 through 14, that was the stop of at verse 5. This is where we're going to go today, the rest of the first chapter of John 1. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting in human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And this is actually our theme verse for Advent. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So the Word became human. In other translations, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Christmas celebrates. It celebrates him coming as a human to us. But what stood out to me is that it says that he dwelt among us. And I love this in the Message. This is, I love, the Message just is, you know, story, has a way of storytelling, and that makes it just come to life in a new way. And so this is what it said. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. He went and lived. He didn't just come in a manger and be born. He actually then lived and moved into the neighborhood. And I love that idea. I love that picture. I love that it's not just a story of like, oh, great, born in a manger, cute, sweet, which is good, and we're going to talk about that, but that he came and he moved in. He didn't just come for a visit. It wasn't a visitation. It was a moving in. And Brad talked a little bit about that earlier, but I looked up what it means, that he dwelt, and that really one, this is from a commentary, he dwelt among them, sojourned with them, ate, drank, slept, and was with them for years, so that they saw him with their eyes, they looked upon him, and their hands handled him. 1 John 1:1. To dwell in a tent with one is the same as to be in his family. And when John says he tabernacled with them, he means that he was with them as a friend and as one of a family, so that they had full opportunity of becoming familiarly acquainted with him and could not be mistaken in supposing that he was really a man. He came and lived with them. People got to encounter him, that he was real. And isn't that what we want? Like, I've been craving encounters with Jesus and hearing of people's encounters with Jesus today, even. It feels so, sometimes just so overwhelming to see all the ick that's out there, and that it feels like, where are you, Jesus? Where are you, God? Where are you in, like, this world and in these, you know, people out there and relationships and raising kids? And it's just like, it's so much. And I've been craving for hearing from God's people their encounters with him. Because we all know the story. I'm talking to Christians. I'm assuming that right now. So just put that out there. That we know he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. He said he's coming back. That's what we believe. And he didn't die. Like, he's alive, right? He's alive, and he sent his spirit with us. And so that means he's here. He's alive. And sometimes it just feels like it's so hard to grasp him and to see him. And so I've been just craving for that. And one of the things I'm actually going to invite all of us to do in this season is to share with each other moments in our lives, current, where we have experienced an encounter with Jesus. And we're going to look during Advent in our services. We're going to have people share. So I get to start. And Robin, yours is huge, and I want to, maybe next week. You just told me about it this morning. It's so cool. But today, I get to bring this to you, and I was like overwhelmed with, okay, God, what encounter do you want me to share? Looking in the Bible, there's about more than about 50 encounters documented of people encountering Jesus in the Gospels, like real people coming to a real person, encountering the real God in person, and there's so many of them, and we can learn something from every single one of them. So it's like, where do I start? What do I pick? And I had picked actually one that was the road to Emmaus, the people walking after Jesus raised from the dead, and he's walking, and they're like not knowing that it's him, and he's walking with them, and my whole like thought on that was, yeah, that's a good one, but what else? What other one? And I had thought, oh, well, what about John the Baptist? That is his very first encounter. Jesus' very first encounter was a womb encounter with John the Baptist. Mary's pregnant with Jesus. She goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's also pregnant, who both of them, miraculous, because Elizabeth was really old and didn't think she could have kids, and that's a story, but that was the first person. So I was like, well, yeah, that's good, and that's good. And then I woke up to the song. I don't know if you guys know it. It's called Roar, I think, by Elevation Worship. But there's this whole bridge that says, prepare the way of the Lord. And it was just loud in my ear. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. And it was like, I woke up with that yesterday morning. Like just, and I've been praying. Like, Lord, what do you want? What do you want these people to hear? And that's what I got. And it was like, that was my encounter. Like, he met me in the way he meets me. And I don't know how or why he does it that way, except that he knows me, and he knows like music is like so connected to like my soul. And I just knew. I knew that that was it. It was like, okay, here we are. We're going to talk about John the Baptist today. And we're going to talk about his assignment and preparing the way of the Lord. So that was my first Jesus encounter. I'll tell you about the second one. This morning, I went to bed last night. I had it figured out. I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. We were talking about being overwhelmed this morning about like life and not knowing, and things are mystery, and it's a lot. And when you start looking in the Bible and start preparing, it's a lot, you guys. The Bible is a lot. There is a lot in there. And it's like you could take one little thing and go and be in that, like, and then it gets me thinking, but what about that? But what about that? And it's like I finally had to shut my brain off last night, like stop and go to bed. And I woke up this morning still having a little bit of doubt of like, I don't know, God, what's the actual message here? Because it could go any different way. And I opened, this is something silly, but I'm telling you, God works in mysterious ways. Silly too sometimes. I opened up, I get a verse of the day every day from the YouVersion Bible app. Today's verse of the day was, sorry, where's my phone? Oh, it's right here. Where is it? Isaiah 40. Will you read it, Robin? Isaiah 43. Okay. The verse of the day today. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, it's not a surprise that that would be the verse, because we're starting Advent and the beginning of Jesus' story is John the Baptist is the one who introduces him, and that's what we're going to talk about. But it was just a confirmation for me, and it was really cool. So I tell you guys that to say, like, I think there's a word here for you. I don't know what it is. I'm not the person who knows, but I am listening to the Lord, and that's what he told me in two really cool ways to get me to deliver this. So we're going to read John 1. And that's a long intro, so thank you. I get to do the intro to Advent, and now I get to start preaching. So here we go. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This continues in John 1:19. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us." This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well, then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." My title of this sermon is John Knew the Assignment. You guys remember the TikTok or the Instagram reels? "I understood the assignment. I understood the assignment." Do you know that one? Okay, it's really funny, but that's all I could think about when I was doing this, that John understood the assignment. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why he was here. He understood the assignment. You're going to go and see that now. You'll see it now if you're on Instagram Reels because they're listening. But it's basically like, if you know what your assignment is, you're doing it. Like, you understood that. Even before birth, God had John's assignment ready. In Luke 1:11, this is John's dad, John the Baptist's dad, or as they say in Chosen, Crazy John. That's what they call him in the Chosen series. His dad was Zechariah, who was a priest. And he was not supposed to, his mom Elizabeth was old. An angel came and visited him and told him, your wife's going to have a baby. And he's like, what? So this is where we start. Luke 1:11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic beverages. Doesn't say that. Just make it a little more current. Drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." And there's a whole story then that happens with Zechariah. He gets his mouth shut because he, I think, didn't believe it. Go read it. It's in Luke. But after John is born, Zechariah prophesied, and it's a beautiful prophecy, but I'm taking it from verse 76 to 80, so Luke 1:76. And it's just so, I just love how this is written. This is the New Living Translation, NLT. It says, "And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. And that was, oh, and that says, John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. So John's assignment was said before he was even born, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, in the womb. And so then he went out to the wilderness until it was time. What's the word that you guys heard over and over about his assignment?
Prepare.
He knew that his assignment was to prepare the way for the way. So in looking at his life, we're going to kind of look at how it played out and then apply it and invite you guys to look at your own lives. But the first step in him fulfilling his assignment was knowing his assignment. He knew that he was to prepare the way. He knew he was not the Messiah. He knew he was the one coming before. So knowing it, that's good, but that doesn't do anything, right? Knowing something is not doing the thing. So step one is knowing the assignment. Step two is doing the assignment. So what was his assignment? His assignment was to go and prepare them for the fact that there was a light coming. I'm going to read from Matthew 3. So the cool thing about the Gospels is that there's four different accounts of John the Baptist. You can kind of pick and choose any of them. They all say the same thing, but just a little bit differently, which is great. So this one, I'm actually going to be reading from the Message today. This is Matthew 3. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John the Baptizer was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy that we heard earlier. Thunder in the desert, prepare for God's arrival, make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in camel hair, habit tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded, "Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. I'm not baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. Oh, I am. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. He came to tell about the light. People didn't really think that they had a problem. He's not coming to save them. He's coming to tell them, look, you're living in darkness. He is preparing for the light to come. But to know that you need to be changed, you've got to see that you need to be changed. And what he was coming and doing was preaching repentance. To repent, you have to actually acknowledge and recognize that there's something to repent from. So it was really interesting to me to kind of, I'm like, how is he preparing the way of the Lord? Like what, like, how is he preparing that? And in my study of it, it was basically, yeah, he was preparing them by telling them, look, you need to change. You are not, just because you're Abraham's son does not mean anything. If you are not actually recognizing that you have darkness in you, the light, you won't even know that there's a light there. And that was his job. That was his assignment. He was preparing them for the fact that they were in darkness and that they needed a light. Next is step three. So step one, know the assignment. Step two, do the assignment. For him, point out the darkness in people. That's what he was sent to do. Tell them that they need to change and baptize them into a life that they're willing to see the light. Step three is to look and listen. So he's preparing the way. He's saying, okay, there's someone coming. But what happens if Jesus comes and he's not looking and he's not listening? He misses him, right? John didn't miss it. John did not miss when Jesus actually showed up. So he knew his assignment. He did his assignment. And then here comes the next part. This is verse 24 of John 1. Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal. This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. John understood the assignment. To prepare the way for the way, you got to know it, you got to do it, and you got to look and listen for what's next for the actual fulfillment of the assignment. Prepare the way for the way. The last step is actually a part that has been really impactful in looking at John's life and looking, kind of breaking it into like following the call of the Lord. In preparing the way for the Lord, the last step is that the preparation ends when the way shows up. The very next thing that happens is that the disciples of John met Jesus. And they went with Jesus. He prepared these people. And when the way showed up, he let them go. They weren't his disciples. All along, they were following him. He was instructing them. And then it was time, when the way showed up, to have them go on the way, with the way. So this is verse 35. The following day, Jesus was again standing with the two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there's the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. This is where Jesus gets his first disciples. What struck me about that is in my assignment as a mom, in all of our assignments as believers, we're all assigned, we're all called, and we're all assigned to be preparing the way for people to meet Jesus. And as a parent, this struck me of just like, you do what you're supposed to do. You know your assignment, you raise them, and then you let them go. And it just hit me of like, man, this doing this is not always easy. Doing the assignment of preparing the way for the way, you know, as a parent, as a pastor, it's like, it's the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. They're the Lord's. So I look at John the Baptist. I look at his life, and I am just like, wow. He knew, but he was able to do it because he knew his assignment. He knew what he was about. He knew that none of this was for him. He knew that none of it was his people, his word. It was all because it was to prepare the way for the Lord to come in and take over. It's displayed here later in John 3:22. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went to the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them here, there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing because there was plenty of water there at a place, Anon. Because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. That's another thing. It's not always going to be easy doing your assignment. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everybody is going to him instead of coming to us." And John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remain under God's angry judgment." Ooh. He knew. He knew that when the time had come, it was time. He had to decrease and Jesus had to increase. That was always the plan. And we've been talking. I actually do need my phone. Is it right there? Oh, it's right here. We've been talking for the last few weeks, months. We've been going through the series in Genesis. And the purpose, this is from Brad, the purpose of the series with Genesis is that God calls a special people. In this instance, he's speaking to us here, Faith Worship Community, because that's who we preach to. That's who Brad preaches to. He's calling us, Faith Worship Community, to be a people, God's special people of faithfulness. God's call to be that special people is based on God's call of all the world's creation and all people into being. So from the very beginning, God calls us to be his. God has a call on our life. The minute that you say yes to him, you have a call on your life. And sometimes it gets kind of confusing on what is my calling? What's my calling? You know, we kind of get caught up in that. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And in looking at John the Baptist, we all share the same calling as him. It's just our assignments are different. And that's something that has been really coming to life for me is this idea of calling versus assignment. We all are called. The second that you meet Jesus, the calling is follow me. That's the call on your life. Follow me. Then what's the next one? It's been our theme for the year is go and make disciples. That's the call. That is the call from the Lord. The call on your life, follow me and go and make disciples. And then the third is to testify about it and let God do his work. So the calling, we don't need to guess what the calling is on our life. Our calling is to go and make disciples. It's to follow him and go and make disciples. But the assignment is the thing, right? Is where and to who. We all have that on our life. John the Baptist knew his assignment. His assignment was go and prepare the way of the Lord. And he did it. In looking at this, this was something that there's a guy named Pete Cesaro. He's a pastor. He does a lot of stuff on emotional health and the church and leadership and discipleship and all this stuff. Well, this I listened the other day to a podcast because I've just been really thinking about that. Lord, like, what's the assignment that you have, you know, for us? And this is what I want to encourage you guys with, is that this isn't just a story about John the Baptist fulfilling his assignment, okay? It's about looking at how he did it. And kind of, for me, what was illuminated was just those steps, is know what it is, do it. When you see Jesus and know the next step, let it go, and then let the Lord have his way with people. But this is from Pete Cezero. He says, can you imagine with me what it might be like if every Christian in our churches understood their identity as the following? I am in the full-time ministry, and I am a first grade teacher. I am in full-time ministry, and I am a nurse. I am in full-time ministry, and I am a mom at home. Last week, they began a series called Your Life, Your Work, and Your Calling. It is one of those truths that I believe my whole life, but recognize I have not fully integrated into my own life. The main points of our calling from Scripture are simple. Every Christian is fully called. Your calling is your whole life. All your work and life is holy, sacred, and spiritual. Everyone, everywhere, and everything, by God, to God, and for God. The division of sacred and secular spheres has a long, long history and is seriously distorted. A biblical comprehensive theology of calling transforms people, bringing meaning to all of his or her waking hours. The implications of recovery of calling are enormous. So we all have assignments. We're all called and we all have assignments, and that's living our lives. I can't tell you what specifically your assignment is. Only the Lord can, as far as like, hey, I'm walking around. Oh, somebody needs something. I have a word for them. You know, it's like we get many assignments all day long if we're listening. And that's what I'm actually going to invite you guys to do, is to listen as you go through Advent for assignments that Jesus has for you, to see him and to be his hands and feet too, to other people. We want an encounter with Jesus. I want an encounter with Jesus. But if I'm not looking and listening, I'm not going to see him. Like that third point in that is key. If we're not looking and listening for Jesus in the world, or where we need to step in and be preparing the way for others to meet Jesus, we're just wandering in darkness. We're here because we love because he first loved us. There's the verse in the back. What are we going to do with that? You know, like, I want to invite you guys through this time of looking to his, celebrating his birth, to not let, like, the fact that he came and lived and he asked us to do the same, to continue his word, to prepare people for his work in their lives. Look for where you can do that. And then look for him to be doing that for you. Like, I got to prepare a song, prepare the way, you know, like, look and listen. Look and listen for where he's calling you to be his hands and feet to people, and to, or just encounter him, where to let other people be his hands and feet to you. John the Baptist. These are the things. How did he do it? He knew about him. He told about him. And when Jesus showed up, he didn't miss him. He prepared, he did, and the Holy Spirit confirmed. And that's how he did not miss Jesus. So I originally had this whole idea of, like, this message is going to be out, let's not miss Jesus this Christmas and kind of look at all those. But I still want to do that. But let's not miss Jesus this Christmas. Let's not miss where he is and where he wants us to be. Look and listen. Know the assignment. Do the assignment. And then look and listen when it's time for you to let him do his work. And give it to him. This season has been, honestly, it's been a rough year for me. In doing a lot of really deep work in my life and healing. But the biggest message, and this, like, was so confirming this morning, is, like, it's not about you. That's been my message this year. It's not about you. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. It's the Lord that it's about, I just get to be a part of it in my kids' lives, in your lives, in the lives of people I talk to on the phone, in the lives of people at the store. Prepare the way for Jesus to come in and do his work, because we are not God. John the Baptist was really clear. He's like, I am not him. I am not him, but I can point you to him. And I can tell you that someone is coming, and that is good news. And he is the one that has the power to transform lives. It's not me. It's him. But we get the opportunity to also be like John the Baptist and prepare the way for his truth and his light to shine in people's lives. So that's what I have this Advent. Let's get to know Jesus. Let's not miss him. Let's look for him. Let's listen to him. Let's let him in and shine light in our lives. And let's be the light to others as well. So prepare the way of the Lord this Advent.